For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Heat Nation, welcome into Believe in Miami Heat. It is January 6th, 10:30 East Coast time. Your Miami Heat. Coming off a tough loss to the Boston Celtics. The Heat lose 107-105. Going to react to tonight's game. Also going to react a little bit to the past three games since the last episode. Last time I was here talking to you guys about the Heat, it was coming off of a nice bounce back win over the Bucks after a blowout 47-point loss to the Bucks. So we're going to go through the last three games. I'm going to go through the last three games a little bit, talk about tonight's game, react. The Heat are 1-3 over the past week since the last episode, so it's been a little bit of a rocky road for the Heat. It's been a little bit of an up and down. It's been a bumpy road for the Heat in general this early season. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. They're 3-4 now. They got some things to figure out still. Looked like they had They probably shouldn't have been as close to potentially winning this game as they were. We'll talk about that in a second. They kept it close all game, but it looked like the Celtics had pulled away in the end, and the Heat sort of, you know, came back with the three ball, which I'll discuss a little bit too. But overall, you know, good win Monday night over the Thunder. Tough loss tonight. Over to the Celtics, but we'll get into all of that. I'll talk about the offense that I don't think looks great. I'll talk about the defense that is still very good. And maybe Coach Spo has figured out his rotation, maybe not. We'll see. But it looks like he's found something that he's at least relatively comfortable with. But first, look, you guys know NBA, college basketball, they're back. The college football playoff already started. We got national championship game coming up. NFL Super Wild Card Weekend starts this weekend. So no matter what you're betting on, what are your NBA bets, which I'm rolling in right now, or if you're betting on the playoffs, maybe you got Tampa Bay. Maybe you got Tom Brady getting hot at the right time going to the Super Bowl. Maybe a little upset pick there. I don't know. We'll see. I personally want to apologize for telling you all to bet on the Knicks against the spread last week. It seems as though since I told you to bet on them against the spread and then they lost handily to the Raptors, they are rolling. They are playing great basketball. But I should know better than to ever bet on the Knicks and put my money on the New York Knicks. So this week, I'm actually going to bet on some super, super wild card weekend games. I haven't decided which ones yet, but all the odds are up. All the lines, totals, all that are up on Bet Online right now. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. There's always the online casino as well. It never closes. Never closes. So head to betonline.ag today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Heat lose 107-105 to the Boston Celtics. It's a tough game. Look, I coming into this game, I worried a little bit that the Celtics would come out and sort and blast the Heat, similarly to what the Bucks did game one last week, because of the circumstances coming off of a loss in the playoffs. Now, it's a little bit different, right? The Heat beat the Bucks 4-1, dominated the back-to-back MVP. The Bucks came out, needed to make a statement. Celtics lost in the conference championship, but I don't know that they hold it again, that they are holding the grudge the same way it seemed like the Bucks maybe were holding a little bit of a grudge from that playoff loss. That being said, it's a really good Celtics team, super talented team. I mean, I have another podcast where I talk about the entire NBA, and I talk about this all the time. You can't talk about the Celtics without talking about the fact that they have two top 15 players in the NBA, in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So anytime you play this team, it's tough, especially right now for the Heat, that it just seems like things are still getting figured out. And it's only seven games into the season, so that's sort of to be expected. But I guess there's probably a lot of people, myself included, that thought, you know, coming off of a championship run and bringing back the main core of the roster, it looks like it won't take a lot of time to figure things out. Like, things are in place. But obviously, some early season struggles, and there is some things to figure out, particularly with the offense. And so I'll start there. One of my observations with this Heat team, and I think we're seeing it a little bit early, although I will say the Heat came into this game shooting 36% from three. They shot 13 of 16 from three in this game against the Celtics. But I do think that what I'm seeing, like, if I was scouting this game, I used to watch tape for a living when I worked in the NBA as a video coordinator. What I'm seeing from the Heat, if I was scouting this team, I would say this team does not drive to score. This team drives to pass. Now, the Heat had 40 points in the paint tonight, which is fine, which is good. But there are so many times where the Heat get into the paint or get a drive, and instead of maybe drawing contact, took 26 free throws tonight, understand that. Jimmy Butler had a great game. Jimmy Butler, 26 points, 9 of 19 from the field, 9 free throws. I said this all the time in the playoffs last year. If Jimmy Butler would shoot 20 times a game, the Heat would be hard to beat, because he can score when he wants to. He also took three threes, which is strange. But it's a good game from Jimmy. I can't complain about that, getting the line 9 times. But, you know, I think in an effort to get back the rhythm and the flow that we saw from the offense last year, they are forcing sometimes the extra pass, or forcing the drive and kick, or forcing the drive and lob off of the pick and rolls. Instead of, there's a lot of times where I see opportunities that the Heat could get a layup, go to the free throw line, just get an easy mid-range jumper or a paint touch score. There were opportunities in this game where the Heat, I think, could have had 50, 55 points in the paint. And it seems like teams are scouting that now. And they know that the Heat want to take they want to take threes. They want to drive and kick. They want to get these lobs. And it's part of the reason why early in the year, the Heat have led the league in turnovers. Part of it's stagnant offense, but I think they're being scouted, and teams are making them stagnant because they're not. It doesn't seem like they're challenging at the rim as much as they could. I just want to see it more. Even with Jimmy, like, Jimmy only had three assists tonight. He was more aggressive to score, but there were still opportunities that he had where he passed the ball up. He could have had 30. And that's nitpicking with Jimmy, obviously. But it's just sort of all around where, you know, the Heat shot 13 of 36 from three in this game, which is a solid number. 36% is very good. But a couple of those threes came, maybe three of them, I would say, in the late in the fourth quarter, Duncan Robinson hit a couple. Goron hit one to tie it. Like, these were panic shots, which are good. But in the context of the rest of the game, the Heat did not shoot the ball particularly well from three. And then if you go back to the Mavericks game that the Heat lost last Friday, where they got beat 96-83, they went 7 of 33. So in the two games that they lost on this three-game stretch since the last podcast, that would be 20 of 69 from three. That's not a good number. And it's going to happen. The Heat are going to shoot a lot of three. They're going to shoot the three ball. They were one of the best three-point shooting teams in the NBA last year. But I wonder, should there be more of an emphasis, or could there be more of an emphasis on getting to the basket and getting to the free throw line and scoring at the rim? Because I'll talk about the defense in a second, but when you play a team like the Boston Celtics and you hold them to 107 points, it's a game you should probably win. Or on the contrary, or the Mavericks, they score 93 points. You should beat the Dallas Mavericks, who had the best offense in NBA history last year. If they score 93 points, that's a win. Not even like you should win. That's a win. You got to win that game. And right now, the offense just hasn't looked great. Now, since that Dallas game, the rotations have changed. So we'll see. Part of the issue, obviously, between playoff offense and this offense is Tyler Hero has seemingly hit a sophomore slump already, very much so, at least shooting ball. He's shooting 29.7% from three, went 1 of 5 from three tonight. He got to the line five times, which is a good thing, which is a step in the right direction. But on the season, he's only going to the line 1.7 times a game. And this is what I'm talking about. He is so important, and he's so talented to what this team does offensively. And he's in a different position this year. He's starting. He's a de facto starting point guard. But 8 points is not going to cut it from him. And he's still figuring out his role. But he is so talented. 8 field goals is not a lot of field goal attempts for him. And I want to see him. He should get to the rim, get fouled. He's so athletic. He can score in so many different ways. He's a dynamic player. They need him in a big way to snap out of this slump. I mean, he was 1 for 5 from three. Goran Dragic, 1 of 5 from three. Again, another guy, Goran, good three-point shooter. And credit to the Celtics defense. This is not just a one-way street here, but it has been this season the Heat have struggled offensively. They coming into tonight, good defense, bad offense. It's been the story of the season right now, and part of that is them trying to figure out who fits together and what the rotations look like. But I just don't, you know, instead of going 2 for 10 from three, maybe go 2 of, you know, take a few less threes, get to the line. 8 free throws combined from two of the best penetrating scorers on the team, which is Goron and Tyler Hero. And obviously, you know, the Heat, it was a struggle for them tonight, right? Goron's only three was that 1-3, obviously clutch three that, you know, got, you know, tied the game. Jimmy Butler takes 3 threes all of a sudden. That's not really his game. Maybe one of those can be your, one or two of those can be your 20, you know, can be, you go 11 of 19 from the field because he can get to the rim whenever he wants. He gets to the rim whenever he gets into the paint, gets to the rim whenever he wants. And I understand he wants to set up his teammates and that's his game. But I talk about this all the time with Jimmy. He can score at will. And part of what potentially makes this Celtics team a great team, you know, they're 6-3 now. They've won 3 in a row. And I saw it the other night with Jason Tatum where they were struggling and I forgot who it was against. They were struggling and he just put them on his back and he went for 40. The night before, Jaylen Brown had 30-something. Like, these two guys with this team, if they're struggling, they put the ball in Jason Tatum's hand. Where they put the ball in Jaylen Brown's hand, but mostly Jason Tatum when they're struggling, they say, go get this for us. Go win these games for us. These close games, go win it. And although Jimmy had 26 tonight, I don't see him as that guy when he as consistently as he needs to be, particularly early in the year when they're 3-4. And truly, when you look at the losses, right? First game, 107 points loss. Third game to Milwaukee, 97 loss. Dallas game, 83 points loss. And tonight, 105. I mean, you're not going to win in today's NBA scoring 107 or 98 or 97 or 83 or 105. You know, even the game that they won against New Orleans, 111. The second game, 119 against Milwaukee that they won. And then against Oklahoma City, a game that I don't really count that much, although it was good to get the offense rolling a little bit, 118. So, you look around the NBA, the way teams are scoring the basketball right now, the Heat's high point mark this year is 119 points. Seven games into the year, you'd think they would have had an output. Now, they probably could have done it against Oklahoma City. They blew them out, so it didn't really matter. But it is a sign of a struggling offense. So I think a way for them to fix that, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how they want to play. I know they're not going to fundamentally change their offense, but maybe they'll look at it and say, hey, maybe we can get to the rim and to the free throw line a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Maybe we, instead of all these so many lobs off of pick and rolls, which I understand that's what you draw these plays up for, but maybe instead of all these lobs that have led to turnovers until tonight, maybe just get to the rack and get to the free throw line or score. The options are there. Unless I'm missing something, the opportunities to score the ball are there. The team is trying to be so unselfish to get the offense back in sync that I think there's times where they're not taking the best shot and they're trying to get a better shot when the best shot's already there. So, offensively, that's something that's going to have to get fixed. You would think that will come with time with this Miami team. Again, we're talking about a team who really, they were not a great team in the regular season last year. So it's going to probably take time to develop this type of chemistry offensively again this season. One positive, obviously a huge positive for Miami over the last two games is, despite the fact that the Heat still lead the NBA in turnovers per game, last game at right around 20, last game only 14 turnovers, tonight only 8 turnovers. But again, I'll say this, that's great, taking care of the ball more, which doesn't lead to more fast break opportunities for the other team. That's great. But if you're leading the league in turnovers and the turnovers were part of the reason why your offense was struggling, and now you only have 8 turnovers and you still only score 105 points, yes, it's against a great Celtics team, potentially one of the best team in the East. If they're healthy and their talent gets it together, they are good. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals twice in the past 3 years with two guys who are 23 and 22. This is a very talented team. But there's still something that's not quite clicking offensively if you only turned it over 8 times but still can only score 105 points. Tough game. Good. I'm glad, at least from the Heat standpoint, that they were able to not get blown out, which seems weird, but it just seems like the way this season's been going, they could have potentially gotten blown out in a game like this. So that's a positive at least. On the defensive end, they held this up. Again, it's the Celtics who come into this game with the 7th best offensive rating in the NBA. They hold them to 107 points. That's good. I'll take that. And the crazy thing about that is the Celtics scored off 56 points in the paint. The Heat have been the best defensive team with points in the paint this year. That's what the Heat do. And despite that, the Heat were still able to hold them to 107 points. So that's a victory. It just comes down to these type of games. At the end of the day, I say this about the NBA a lot, especially with games like this. When it's a tied game, 2-point game, 3-point game, these crunch time type of games, a lot of times it's going to come down to who has the more talented end of game scorer. And as much as great as Jimmy Butler is and as great as he was in the playoffs last year, there's no doubt that the best end-of-game scorer or the best clutch scorer on these two teams is Jason Tatum. And, he came up big, 27 points. it's just going to happen this way. It's you hate to say it's a, I wouldn't call it a bad loss, because it's to the Celtics. 3-4 is not the way you want to start the season. They do need to start reeling off some wins. But look, Peyton Pritchard, this kid who made the tip shot at the end of the game, he's playing out of his mind. He's having a really good rookie season. Made a really heads up play. Should the Heat have potentially won this game? Yes. But it stinks, because they made that little run at the end and they had a shot to win it, but not the end of the world. More concerning is the fact that it's been up and down, so up and down, only through 7 games. It's literally like there hasn't been back-to-back wins or back-to-back losses. So I guess you could also look at the fact that there hasn't been back-to-back losses as somewhat of a positive too, that they bounce back, right? But now good teams like the Celtics, they've won 3 in a row. I'll talk about some of the other Eastern Conference teams in a second, towards the end of the show. But now you got to start putting some stuff together. Now you got to win 2, 3, 4 games in a row. No losing streaks. Like, great teams don't go on losing streaks, major losing streaks, but they start to put together wins, especially against teams that they should beat. Like, they should have beaten Dallas. They should have beaten OKC, so they got that win. Should have beaten Orlando first game of the year, even though Orlando's playing pretty good basketball. But again, like, you know, I talk about this a little bit, but generally in an NBA season, around game 20 is when you know what you have. This year, there's only 72 games. So you're going to have to probably figure out what you got a little bit earlier, probably around game 15 or so. So that leads me into the fact that despite all of this, what it looks like Eric Spoelstra has somewhat figured out what his rotation is for the time being. For the second game in a row, Kelly Olynyk started at the 4, and the Heat started the regular, you know, starting lineup: Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, with Kelly Olynyk at the 4. And he's had back-to-back. If there was a bright spot shooting the ball outside of Duncan, it's been Kelly Olynyk. You know, tonight, 4 of 7 for 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of 6 from 3. Against the Thunder, he went absolutely nuts, 5 of 7. So over the last 2 games, he's 8 of 12 from 3. That's great. And that's what he sort of brought to the team offensively in the playoffs last year, particularly when Bam was hurt but coming off the bench. But the question now becomes, as you're evaluating, as you go through these next 7, 8, 9 games and really figure out what the team is going forward, I think the Heat are going to really have to ask themselves, is Kelly Olynyk the long-term answer? Is Kelly Olynyk sustainable as your starting 4 to be a team that makes a run to a championship again, or to even the Eastern Conference Finals? I think Kelly Olynyk is a really, really great bench player. Come in, spark plug offense. Doesn't play defense, but can shoot the ball, and he's shooting the ball really well. But look, but again, like, you look at tonight's numbers, 13 of 36 from 3, 6 of those 3s came from Kelly Olynyk and Andre Iguodala. It's not sustainable. And that's going back to what I was talking about before, that falling in love with the 3 and maybe figuring out to more ways to score than just the way, you know, constantly forcing it to get to the 3 ball. But as far as Kelly Olynyk goes, he's a really nice placeholder right now, because Mo Harkless has just been really bad and seemingly probably will not be in the lineup or in the rotation anytime soon, which is unfortunate, because I think people hoped he could replace Jay Crowder. So the question is, over these next, even I'll give it 15 games, I think what the Heat really have to evaluate here is, can we get it done with Kelly Olynyk? Where is Precious at? But I think they play such different positions that it's not even a question. And then you have to start looking around. Like, who's out there? who's available? Who are the guys that you look around and you say, well, that team's not very good. Maybe we can go get that guy. You know, Blake Griffin's a guy who I really am high on, but I don't think a lot of other people are. He also makes a ton of money, so I don't know that he would make sense. Another guy who makes a lot of money, but who's playing really well and probably would love to be on a team, a winning team. Otto Porter is a really interesting one. About the same size as Jay Crowder. Not as, I guess, tough, so to speak, but is a defensive-minded player who can score the ball on an awful team that you could probably just get him for assets and expiring contracts. He's a really interesting guy. I think the Heat are going to be active, and that's not surprising. They were active last year. If you don't make that trade for Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala last year, you probably don't go to the finals. So I think a big part of looking at this rotation, and I think this is Eric Spoelstra is comfortable now with this rotation for the time being. But I, as a Heat fan, if you're a Heat fan, I probably wouldn't get comfortable with this rotation or even potentially this roster. 3-4 is not a good start. It's not an awful start, but it's not a good start. And there's still the chirping. There's still reports coming out from people around that, you know, the Heat got lucky. It was a circumstance run and this and that. I if there's anybody on the planet that I think outside of Jimmy Butler, obviously, if there's anybody on the planet who is going to do everything in his power to make sure that that's not true, it's Pat Riley. So this will probably be the rotation for a little while. But I would imagine as we inch towards the trade deadline, whenever it is this year, you'll see the Heat at least make a move, whatever it is, whether it's a big move. I don't know if that's here, if that's the move, or whether it's something with an expiring deal or something like that to go get a higher level vet four to play next to Bam to complement him to make a run later in the year. The only other thing, you know, from the Celtics game is just Jimmy just continues to be, he tweaked his ankle again. Not ideal. And then he did something to his knee late in the fourth quarter. He played on it, but oh God, you know, he's been really banged up early in the year, and it's unfortunate. It's like, you know, it's a shortened season and the Heat are struggling. So he's going to play, but man, it's almost like you'd love to let him rest a little bit and get totally healed up. But can you afford it in a shortened season where you're already not playing that well? I don't think you can, but it's just kind of stinks to see him out there not at 100% and still playing really well, but not at 100%. Like, what could it, if you force it and he has to play, because he's tough, he's going to play. Will that impact him or the Heat, you know, later on down the line? I hate seeing him all, you know, already banged up 7 games into the year. That's just part of the game. But because of the shortened season, I guess you probably can't do a ton of you can't really just bench him, like or like sit him for an extended period. They just will not be very good without him. So we got to keep an eye on that. Got to keep an eye and see what happened to his knee there towards the end of the game. It's probably nothing major because he stayed in. But that ankle obviously is still bothering him a little bit. So we'll monitor that and see how that goes going forward. But that's pretty much it from this last stretch. Again, it's like, it's so early in the year. It's not panic time, obviously, by any means, but this next little stretch, and I'm going to talk about the schedule here right now, but this next little stretch is pretty big because they got to start putting together some wins, and it's not going to be easy over the next week until I talk to you guys again. The Heat now go on a 4-game road trip against Washington at Washington, which Washington lost again tonight. Brad Beal had 60 points and Washington lost. So they haven't been very good this year, but they are capable of scoring in bunches. They have two obviously high level, you know, Brad Beal's one of the top scorers in the NBA, and Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. they can score a ton of points. So you're going to have to score with them probably. But also, how locked in can a guy like Brad Beal continue to stay after being second in the league in scoring last year and then scoring 60 and not winning? You got to think that that guy at some point is going to be like, oh, like this is just not for me. You know, I know he's committed to staying there. They made the move to get Russell Westbrook, but they have not been good to start the season, and he's still doing everything in his power to try to put that franchise on his back. Will the rumbling start if he keeps doing this and they keep losing? Hopefully, the Heat get a dub against them, and maybe the Heat can continue the process, and maybe when he requests a trade at some point. He would look pretty good in a Heat jersey. I'd pretty much give up anything for that guy other than Jimmy and Bam. And then you go to Boston, which at Boston is going to be tough. Of course it's going to be tough. Always is. Different now without fans, but going to be tough. And then back-to-back games against Philly in Philly, which, look, it's tough to beat a team back-to-back when you're playing them. That's why playoff series, there are, you know, early you see sweeps, but later on they're usually somewhat competitive. It's hard to like play a team twice in the same place within a couple days and beat them back to back. It's just not an easy thing to do, especially in the regular season. So I would anticipate the Heat potentially taking one of those games. But man, Philly is playing the best basketball I've seen them play since Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons got to that team. Doc Rivers has that team absolutely rolling. They're 7-1. They have the best record in the NBA. They've won 5 in a row. They beat the Wizards tonight, despite Brad Beal scoring 60. So you look at that Sixers team, they've been winning games this year with the best defense in the NBA, a dominant defense, and Joel Embiid playing good basketball. Today, it wasn't defense. It was them flat out outscoring. Just going toe to toe with Washington, beating them 141-136. So Philly now has shown they can beat you defensively, and if you come out and score on them, they can beat you offensively. They are playing the best basketball I've seen them play since Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid entered the NBA. And that's a scary thought, because coming into this season, I sort of thought there was a locked up 4 top teams in the East, which was Brooklyn, Miami, Boston, and Milwaukee. And obviously Milwaukee's playing good basketball. Boston's playing good basketball. Brooklyn is an interesting team right now. It'll be interesting. They're going to be good as long as KD stays healthy, but they're an interesting team. And then the Heat are not playing very good. Philly takes that, spot in the top 4 right now. But, you look around the East, right? The Nets lost Spencer Dinwiddie early. He's out for the year. They've been up and down. They blew out whoever they played last night, 2 nights ago, with KD on the bench. Kyrie went off. Jared Allen's playing out of his mind. But before that, they had lost 4 of 5. And I had even said on another podcast that they were a couple losses away from being in panic mode. And they don't have Kevin Durant for another 3 games. They're really interesting. They played great defense, but they've been a bad defensive team this year. They're going to be fine, and they're going to win a lot of games, but they're an interesting one to keep an eye on. When you look around the rest of the East, what are they defensively? Will they come together in time to really be, a dominant team that they could be? Because offensively, they could be an absolutely dominant team, and from a talent standpoint, Like I said, the Sixers, they look like the best team in the East right now. They made the moves in the offseason to go get Danny Green and Seth Curry, which have been great for them. Tobias Harris is playing the best basketball of his career. Joel Embiid is already getting discussions, is already in people's discussions for MVP for this year, which is crazy because I just didn't think that a big man like him could be in but the way he's playing and the way they're playing, best defense in the NBA, he's playing the best basketball of his career. It seems like he could potentially be an MVP candidate. They're playing great. And then with the top 4, if you look at the rest of the Pacers are playing. They beat the Rockets tonight. They look great. I think they're now, let me double check their record now. They're now 6-2. So they're healthy. They look like the team that I actually thought they could potentially be a top four team last year when I saw the moves they made. They still don't even have TJ Warren. Malcolm Brogdon's playing out of his mind. He had 35 tonight against the Rockets. And Domantas Sabonis is playing out of his mind too. That's a really tough team right now. And by the way, we're talking about how strong the East looks right now. You'd be remiss not to talk about the Knicks. The Knicks won another game tonight, this time beating the Utah Jazz. They've won three in a row, the Knicks. They've won five of their last six, and four of those games were against the Bucks, the Pacers, the Hawks, and the Utah Jazz. It is pretty remarkable early in the season. This team is 5-3, and Tom Thibodeau has them rolling right now. They're one of the hottest teams in the NBA, and their next game is against Oklahoma City, who I would argue is the worst team in the NBA. So, and I only bring that up just to say the Eastern Conference is tough this year. So even though it's only seven games into the year, if you're the Heat, I think the evaluation period is going to be much quicker than it normally would to see what they have with this roster. Because I don't, a lot of teams got better. And I just don't think there's a ton of time to figure out who's, like, how is this going to work? If you lose a couple more games and you're going on this road trip, they're going to probably have to make some tweaks. We'll see. Generally speaking, I would be a little more reserved about it. I wouldn't say, oh, this is, you know, panic mode, and they're not. But if you can't win a few games in a row and you can't figure out how to get this offense rolling, something's going to have to happen. So we'll see what that something is. But again, you know, four-game road trip, three of them look like really tough games. Washington's tough. It's a road trip no matter what. So we'll see how the Heat bounce back, starting with Washington next game. I will be back next week. I'm trying to decide, do I want to, looking at the Heat schedule, do I want to do the next episode? Maybe I'll do next week's episode after the Philly game Thursday. So I'll record live right after the Philly game next Thursday. It'll drop Thursday night. And I'll react to the week, Saturday through Thursday, Washington, Boston, Philly. And I think, you know, that'll be 11 games into the year. It'll be pretty close to that time where we can really evaluate where we got. Because then after that, you go back to back. Then after that, if we can get through this road trip 2-2, and I know that would only put you at 5-6, not great. But then you have Detroit, Toronto. That is a four-game stretch that you should win. And that's a potential opportunity to get things really rolling, because Detroit is awful and Toronto's pretty bad this year. So if they can just sustain and keep doing, honestly, what they're doing, win, lose, win, however you got to do it, win a game, lose a game. I mean, obviously you want to win four, but if you go 2-2 on this road trip and then come back and get those four games against Detroit and Toronto, things will be looking pretty good heading forward. And then you'll be at exactly 15 games and have an opportunity to really see, like, what is this team about? What do we got? So, you know, important road trip stretch, can't fall apart. Gotta bounce back, beat Washington, and then probably at least pull one of these other games against Boston and Philly. And then I think you're still in a decent spot. So we'll see. So I'll be back next week after the second Philly game Thursday night. And we'll see where the Heat stand then. All right. Appreciate everybody listening. Obviously, as always, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen. If not, appreciate you listening anywhere else. And just, you know, stick with it and stick with me. We got a lot more season to go, and I think the Heat will turn this thing around. Appreciate you listening, and as always,
Heat Nation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.